So this is a talk about Itakura Saito non-negative matrix factorization. So the outline is as follows. I will briefly recall some previous work about IS and MF and describe the latent statistical model to this specific NMF. Then I will present some a way of actually smoothing the activation coefficient in NMF, and so this is the major contribution of this work, going along with, of course, an algorithm, which is going to be a majorization minimization algorithm that I will present before giving a few results. So this is only to introduce my notation. So the data here, the non-negative data here, is going to be V of dimensions F by N. So F is like a frequency here, and N is a number of frame. And the dictionary matrix is W, the activation matrix is H, the number of components will be K. And NMF usually involves minimizing a criterion of this form under non-negativity constraint of W on H, with a specific cost function here, which in our case will be the Itakura-Saito divergence that I will introduce later. So the applicative context here is unsupervised music representation. So we will deal with audio spectrograms, okay? And the idea is to learn some representative spectral patterns of some spectrogram, of the spectrogram. And of course, so there's a few questions about how to choose V, whether you should choose the magnitude or power spectrogram, how to choose the measure of fit that you use in the decomposition, and also NMF can be viewed as a rank k approximation. You approximate your spectrogram as a sum of rank one spectrograms. And question is, if I want to retrieve the corresponding components in the time domain, how should I invert this rank one spectrograms, and how should I deal with fate and everything? So a generative approach for answering these questions is what I refer to Itakura-Saito NMF, whose latent model is as follows. So let X be your complex-valued STFT of the signal you want to decompose. So X is different from V. X is a complex-value data. If you assume that your data, so a time-frequency coefficient X Fn, is a sum of components CKFn. So K is the component index, F is frequency, N is frame. Complex valued such that this coefficient has a complex, circular complex Gaussian distribution, meaning that you have a random phase with such a structure on the variance, so basically a rank one structure on the variance. Then you can very easily show, assuming that the components are independent, that the log likelihood function is equal to the Itakura-Saito divergence between the power spectrogram of your data, so that's absolute value of x to the square, where the Itakura-Saito divergence is defined by this equation. So that's quite a nice thing this model is quite a nice thing to have, because it's a proper generative model of the spectrogram, and in particular, if your quantity of interest are the components, you can reconstruct these components in a statistically grounded way. For example, if you take the MMSC estimate of coefficient component k at frequency f and n, it's simply a Wiener filter, a time frequency mask applied to the observation. And the time frequency mask is simply defined by the contribution of that component in terms of variance divided by the variance of all the components. So that's Itakura Hyato NMF, the basic model. So of course, audio exhibits some time persistence or redundancy, and taking this information into account can lead to more accurate estimation of H and thus W, reduced identifiability ambiguities, and also perceptually more pleasant component reconstruction. So in this work, we will want to solve a penalized NMF problem where we add a penalty function which measures the smoothness of the rows of H. So now the question is, how should we choose or build this, this smoothness constraint? And again, we can take a generative approach, which is what we did in previous work as well, where we propose to model the smoothness of the activation coefficients in terms of Markov chains, so either inverse gamma or gamma Markov chain, because they preserve non-negativity. So the idea is simply to assume a prior for HKN, so the activation coefficient of component K at frame N, to be such that the mode of this distribution is obtained at the coefficient in the previous frame. Okay, so you can basically plug here a gamma or inverse gamma distribution. So you obtain this kind of equations, and you get a shape parameter alpha here, which controls the peakiness of the mode around the previous value HK n minus 1. So if you do map estimation using this this prior for H, you will get an optimization problem of this form. Okay, so this is your fit to data, and this term here is simply the minus log of the prior that I have just defined. So in the case of inverse gamma Markov chain, you will get a function of this form, and alpha is like before the shape parameter that you use in the prior distribution. So you get something which is really close to the Itakura Saito measure between H and its shifted version from one frame behind, plus a log function here. And this log function here is quite annoying because it's going to induce an ill-posed minimization problem. Indeed, because of that term, if you look at your objective function for a given W and H, and if you rescale this couple of W and H, okay, by a diagonal matrix delta with diagonal terms delta k, then you can choose the scale here such sufficiently small so that you decrease this objective function. Okay, so this will push the solutions toward a degenerate solution like this one. So a natural question is, can I just remove this term? And the answer is yes, of course you can, and it's even something rather reasonable to do. Because if you rearrange the expression of your smoothness measure, actually you can see that this 1 over alpha times log term actually, when alpha becomes sufficiently superior, greater than 1, it basically is going to cancel. So basically, it's quite reasonable to replace your penalty function by simply the Itakura Saito divergence between H and its shifted version one frame behind. Okay, so that gives you a natural scale invariant smoothness measure. And there's no need to control the norm of W in this optimization problem. So it's rather convenient. Okay, so let's talk about algorithms now. I will skip most of the details, and you can refer to the paper for more information. So one approach to solve our penalized NMF problem is to build an EM algorithm where you could use these latent components that I have introduced in the model as complete data. Okay, so this is we did a similar thing in previous work for another penalty function. The problem is that this algorithm is quite slow because the augmented data, the missing data, is very large as compared to the available data. So it leads to a very slowly converging algorithm. And we here propose a new approach based on majorization, minimization, which does not require to augment the data, meaning to use the latent competency in the algorithm. So it works as described. So this is our objective function, okay? And so we produce an iterative algorithm which updates W given H, so that's standard unpenalized NMF, so we know how to do that. And then we are going to update the columns of H sequentially, given the current update of W and given the current values of the neighbors of HN, so at frame n minus 1 and n minus and n plus 1. Okay? So this problem here boils down to this sub-problem, okay, where you have to minimize this functional, which depends on the vector H. And for this, we will use the MM algorithm, which is a standard optimization procedure. So it's an iterative procedure, where given a current update H tilde, okay. So in blue we have the function that we want to minimize. So locally in the current update, we simply construct a surrogate auxiliary function which is easier to minimize than the original cost function, okay. And then we minimize this function instead of the blue one, and then we get a new update, and then we iterate, and it leads to a decent algorithm which will converge to the minimum. So the question is, of course, how to build such an auxiliary function. I'm not going to give the details here, but basically the principles are, so in your function you have the fit to data and the penalty term. For the fit to data, you can actually majorize it. You can majorize its convex part using a Jensen inequality. You can majorize this convex part by a first order Taylor approximation. And as a matter of fact, you don't need to majorize the penalty term because you get a tractable update without necessarily doing this. And in the end, you get a very simple update equation. Okay, so that's really, really simple to implement, where the contribution of the priors or the penalty term are in red, so that if you set lambda equals to zero, you simply get the standard Itakura-Saito NMF update. Okay. Okay. So now we can have we can look at a few results. So I've basically applied this penalized so this smooth Itakura-Saito NMF algorithm to some old jazzy tune music signal. So the power spectrogram here, it sounds like this. Hope it works. Sorry. It works. So and so on, and so first, let's compare the convergence in terms of objective function value of this MM algorithm versus the EM algorithm that we could have done. So using that, you could do using this component as a latent variable. And you can see that the improvement of the MM algorithm is quite significant. So this is a log scale, and these are the iterations. And it runs pretty fast. It's close to CPU to real time on the standard computer. And so this is the effect of the regularization for various values of the penalty weight, so the parameter lambda. So this is the baseline unpenalized NMF, then lambda equals 1, lambda equals 10, and 100. Unfortunately, I don't have a magic method to automatically determine the right value. It has to be user defined, typically in a sound editing setting. The sound engineer will have to tune this parameter according to the desired smoothness. Okay, so I don't know. Do I have quite some time? 5 minutes? Oh, that's perfect. Okay, so I to finish, I wanted to show you the structures, the time frequency masks that are learned by the decomposition. Okay, because I think it's quite interesting to see this structure and to see that actually, with a limited number of components, so k equals 10 for that 2 minute piece of music, you can learn some interesting things. Okay, so the time frequency mask, remember, they are the Wiener filters, the Wiener gains that you apply to the observation to reconstruct each of the components. So this is the first time frequency mask. So the values, the zero is white and one is black. And you get different structures. So here you get a rather wide band image, and you get also more pitch structure. So for example, we can listen to one of these structure, to one of these components. Typically, this is going to capture bits of notes. So it sounds like this. And remember that this is not actually the time frequency spectrum of the component. It's simply the mask, okay, that you apply to the observation. So it means that even if you have some values near to one at some place, if there is nothing at this time frequency point in the data, you will get estimated spectrum, which is zero. Okay. And for example, we can. This is another type of time frequency structure, which is a wider band, and this captures the attacks of the trombones. Okay, and so on. So I have 10 components like this. This one typically captures the bass, okay, so it's just a low pass component, and this one captures the hiss noise which is present on the recording, so it's a high pass frequency. We can listen to it. So basically it's just noise. So you do learn some things even with a limited number of components. And you can do nice sound. This type of decomposition can have some nice audio editing application. For example, you can so basically you have decomposed your original mono recording into a number of components. So this involves some manual grouping to actually reconstruct this the sources from the components. And typically, you can so remove the noise and do denoising, and also remaster these different components on two channels to produce a stereo recording from the mono recording. And this is very similar to the show and tell demo of Audionamics yesterday. I don't know if you saw the demos. It is the same kind of ideas. So typically, from this original mono, you can create an upmixed and denoised version. So I will play that for you. So first the original mono. version. And if you want, you can listen, for example, for the brass component, so the trumpets, clarinet. So the interesting thing is that even if you have some artifacts on some of the estimated sources, because you replay all the sources together, you actually don't listen to the artifacts, and you can render some special impression. And that concludes my talk. Yes.
The only difference is updating for H.
Yes. No. I mean, you can build an EM algorithm for the estimation of W and H, okay, using these latent components as the complete data. Okay? But it's not shown here. Okay? But you can do it quite easily. Offline. Okay, sure. What happens if I take k less or more components? That's a good question. 10 components seem to be the proper number of components to use, because adding more components only tended to refine the decomposition of the noise. Okay. So it seemed like after 10 components, you didn't obtain more interesting or more separated sources. Now, to be honest, I don't remember what it does when you take less than 10 components. I don't remember. Sorry.
Can I thank the speaker again?
Thank you.